Let's go to the book of Genesis, and let's turn to Genesis, and we're going to look in Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10, and we're going to read in Genesis chapter 10. This is the nations that are descended from Noah, the genealogies. This is one of those chapters that's kind of boring. You read it and you say, well, it's just, you know, just a list of things. Lists can be very important. Genesis chapter 10, verse 25. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, which means division. Check your margin. For in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan, which means shortened. And here it talks about Peleg. And in his days the earth was divided. What exactly is this scripture talking about? Was the earth divided somehow? And how was it done? Some people believe that during this time, the continents drifted apart in a sort of runaway plate tectonics. And others say that the division was caused by God creating the various languages at the Tower of Babel, and that humanity was divided. Well, in this sermonette, we're going to examine Genesis chapter 10, verse 25, and find out what exactly is being described. Now, let's look at the time setting of Peleg. When was Peleg born? And that's very easy to determine. Notice Genesis 11, verse 10. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Shem was one of the sons of Noah. So Shem is coming out right after the flood in this particular scenario. It says in verse 10, this is a genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. So 2 years after the flood, Arphaxad was born. Now go to verse 12. Arphaxad lived 35 years, and he begat Salah. So 2 and 35 is 37 years later. Now go to verse 14. Salah lived 30 years, and he begat Eber. Peleg was the son of Eber. And then in verse 16, Eber lived 34 years, and he begat Peleg. So we can date the birth of Peleg as it relates to the flood. If you add the 2 years from Shem to Arphaxad, you got two. The 35 years from Arphaxad to Salah, you got 37. The 30 years from Salah to Eber, you got 67. From Eber to Peleg is 34 more. You have about 101 years after the flood, Peleg is born. So if you're taking notes, 101 years after the flood, Peleg is born. And during his time, it says in verse 25 that we just read, for in his days the earth was divided. So sometime after 101 years after the flood, the division that concerns Peleg took place, whatever that was. So it's always good to get the time frame for various things in the Bible. So the earth was divided at the earliest, 101 years after the flood. I want you to note, we didn't go over it, but Peleg lives for 239 years. He lived for quite a while. Now, let's consider another point. The story of Peleg, his birth, occurs about the same time as another great event. And God names people for various things. Nimrod is the son of Cush, who is the son of Ham. Now, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. From Shem came Peleg. From another one of Noah's son, Ham, came this line. Nimrod is the son of Cush, who is the son of Ham. So Nimrod's great-grandfather was Noah. All right? So this is about the same time period. Notice Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. Now this is a genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the sons were born to him after the flood. We're going to skip to verse 6. The sons of Ham were Cush. So from Noah came Ham, brother of Shem. From Noah came Ham. And Ham had a son whose name was Cush. And verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. So from the line of Ham, we have Cush. And then Cush begats Nimrod. Now, notice verse 10. And the beginning of the context is Nimrod. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And this lists some of the land and some of the divisions. So Nimrod had a kingdom. This is not a sermon about the Babylonians and the Babylonian kingdom, but this is where it came from. Another story branches off here. Now let's go to Genesis 11. Mine has a title on it called the Tower of Babel. Babel means confused. And you remember the story, they couldn't understand each other because God confounded the languages. Why did God confound their languages? Notice Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, or lip, or dialect. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. These were the descendants of Noah, family groups. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. I remember as a child of the 60s, growing up in the 60s, and one of the things that was very popular, and one of the things that a lot of people did, is they built bomb shelters. Because they knew that maybe the bombs would fall, especially during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so that era, that concept was very much on our mind. We were always in the back of our mind thinking about the possibility of thermonuclear warfare. And these people in verse 3 had just come out of the flood. A few generations. So what did they have on the back of their mind? The flood and all the things that happened during the flood and why the flood was sent. Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They were going to make ceramic brick, not adobe brick. Ceramic brick is waterproof. They had bricks for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. Why would you put asphalt for mortar? Asphalt is waterproof. They were building a tower that would never ever be able to be flooded again, is what they were doing. They didn't want God to send another flood. And so they built this large tower where they could climb up above the rising sea waters if it ever happened again, flood waters, and they would be safe. That's why they used ceramic brick and asphalt. Verse 4, they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. We don't want to be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They didn't want to get scattered. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. You got all these people together, all this brain power. They're all speaking the same language. Think internet. And we can do anything. It wasn't time for anything to be done. That was going to be for the time of the end. Another sermon there. Verse 7. Come, let us go down and confuse their language that they may not understand one another. They were all of one speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. The next day you go to build a city, and they can't understand you. You can't understand them. So you gravitate to people that can understand your speech, and you can understand theirs. And there's a division caused by the speech. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad. Remember, God always gets what he wants, brethren. The Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth, and they ceased building. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So they were going to build a floodproof tower. And if you look at the chronologies and the ages, right around the time that Peleg was born is when the Tower of Babel incident took place. Now, notice Genesis chapter 11, verse 8. We just read it, but let's emphasize something. So the Lord scattered them abroad. They didn't want to get scattered. They didn't want to migrate. God had to do it. How did he do it? By confounding their languages so they wouldn't understand and be cohesive and stick together. So when he brought up the languages, everybody migrated in their own groups. And they ceased building the city. Notice Genesis chapter 9. What was God's intent for Noah after he came out of the ark? What was one of the commands that God gave Noah? I often think of this command when I see mothers and fathers with lots of children. It says, so God in verse 1 blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. We don't want you all together in one group. I want you to scatter and to colonize the earth after. And this occurs, this is talking about things right after the flood. God wanted the descendants of Noah to colonize the earth and spread out. He had a timetable. Their refusal to colonize the world needed to be corrected. They, under Nimrod, we're not going to do what God says. We're not going to be scattered abroad the face of the earth. We're going to stay together. Pool our brain power, and we'll be able to do anything, especially if we build this tower to heaven, which can never be flooded. So we'll be safe from an angry God if it ever happens again. That was the mindset of human beings at this time. Why did God want the people scattered then? There's a reason for everything. The name of Peleg is derived from the word pelagic. This word is defined as relating to or living or occupying in the open sea or oceanic. We speak of pelagic fish. The word is often used as a descriptive term. We speak of pelagic birds, which means marine or ocean birds, seagulls, pelicans, they're pelagic. They live near the water. The word is the basis for the word pelag, which has been incorporated into various words related to water, ocean, or seas. Look up the word pelagic. Let's go to the book of Job. Keep your place in Genesis. Let's go to the book of Job. Job. And we're going to look at a concept in the book of Job. Job chapter 38. Job 38, verse 25. Who has divided a channel? The word divided there is the word peleg. Same word used for, you know, peleg being born. Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water? The Hebrew definition of peleg is division. It is a word meaning division by water. Who has divided a channel for the overflowing of water? Now, a lot of people believe that during the days of Peleg, the continents drifted apart. And that's how the earth was divided. Let me read you an article by Bernard Northup. He's a Hebrew professor, and he's talking about the word Peleg. And let me read you what it says. This is in an article called Continental Drift and the Fossil Record. It was published by the Minneapolis Bible Association. And this is what he says about this word Peleg. Peleg often contains within it a reference to water. It is used to refer to a stream or a wall of water in Hebrew. And in Greek, the root is used to refer to irrigation canals, which carry the water throughout the farming land of Mesopotamia. However, an examination of the Greek usage clearly shows that the majority of the instances, this root was used of the ocean, oceanic. It is used to mean to form a sea or a lake, of places that are flooded and underwater, of crossing the sea or of a broad sea, or of being out to sea or on the open sea. It is used in relation to seamen and to ships. The noun is used of to describe an inundation or a flood. At being at sea, a creature of or on the sea, of one who walks on the sea, of running or sailing on the open seas, or of a harbor that is formed in the open sea by means of sandbags, of roving through the sea, or of being sea nourished. So all of these words, according to this Hebrew scholar, have to do with water. Have to do with water. A comparison of the chronologies in Genesis 11 will reveal that Peleg was born 101 years after the flood. Why was Peleg named Division? And by implication, division by water. It wasn't division by land. It was division by water. Now consider something. The Genesis flood caused the ice ages. It caused the ice to form on the polar caps. Before, the earth was very, very tropical. And when the flood came, got rid of all the vegetation. You had water over the face of the earth. The sun hitting the earth would be bounced off, albedo effect. The earth would not be as warm as it was later when land appeared. A cooling earth would cause the water to freeze and to form at the ice caps. So the ice ages are a product of the flood. A lot of your creationists understand that. The Genesis flood caused the ice ages. This would lock up massive amounts of water in the polar ice. As the earth warmed up, when did Peleg live? 101 years after the flood. As the earth warmed up and the polar ice melted, it would have a corresponding rise in the level of the earth's oceans. So right after the flood, the oceans were rising little by little. As the ocean levels raised, the rising water would have separated various land masses. Archaeologists tell you that the American Indians and their descendants came from North America, Canada, through the Bering Straits from Russia. The Bering Land Straits were once a land bridge. If the sea level was a little lower, 15 or 20 feet, you could walk from Alaska to Russia. But the sea levels rose and you could no longer migrate that way. The animals that live in Australia, they're different because they were cut off by the rising waters after the flood. If the waters would have risen another 20 or 30 feet, we would not have a connection between North America and South America. The Isthmus of Panama is only about 20 feet above sea level. So another rise in the sea level, another 20 feet, North America would not have been able to send people down to colonize South America as they came over the Bering landmass. Just something to think about. As the ocean levels raised, the rising water would have separated various land masses. This would have included the separation of Western Asia from Alaska via the Bering Land Bridge. Also, other areas separated would have included Australia, New Zealand, Southern Asia. All those were separated by rising water. If the rising water had risen a little more, the Isthmus of Panama would have been underwater today, which would have separated North and South America. Here's what we have. Shortly after the flood, during the time of Peleg, the earth began to warm and the polar ice began to melt. This was one of the reasons that God told all the people, you need to migrate, you need to leave. Because if you wait too long, the water's going to rise and you're not going to be able to colonize the earth like I want, because all these land bridges are going to be underwater. That is why he forced man to migrate from Shinar all the way to the ends of the earth, because as the ice began to melt, easily traveled routes would have been inundated by rising water. This is one of the reasons why God confounded the languages. When God confounded the languages, they were forced to separate, and as they're traveling to different parts of the earth, they inhabited North America, South America, Australia. Then the waters rose, and those people were separated from each other. If everyone was together speaking the same language, man would be able to do almost anything. And it was not time for that to happen. The new languages caused the people to migrate immediately before many of the migration routes would be sealed off by rising water. So the earth was divided in the time of Peleg. It was not divided by the continents moving. It was divided by a pelagic means, which means the water rose up. God has a timetable, brethren. He wanted man to migrate and colonize the earth. After the flood, he wanted man to infiltrate and colonize the whole earth. He had his various prophetic reasons for doing that, which are not part of this long sermonette. This had to be done shortly after the flood. Humanity said, we're not going anywhere. We're going to build a tower, and we're going to build a waterproof tower, and we're going to follow Nimrod, and nobody can tell us what to do. This was done so that mankind's migration routes would not be cut off by the rising sea levels. Now, there's two other important lessons that this teaches us, which I want to conclude with. This shows us many things, this account in Peleg, but it shows us, one, that God is involved, brethren. You know, a little item like this rising seawater, there was a reason for it. God is involved. And the other is that God's will is always fulfilled, even if men try to not make it be fulfilled. In your life and my life and prophetically and the things that are happening historically, things in the church, God's will is always going to be fulfilled. Sooner or later, God gets what he wants.